I'm so happy to be here, so thank you once again. So in addition to Walt Whitman, recently I've been spending time with a particular stanza by W.H. Auden, searching, I guess, for clues. And it goes like this. All I have is a voice to undo the folded lie, the romantic lie in the brain of the sensual man in the street, and the lie of authority whose buildings grope the sky. There is no such thing as the state, and no one exists alone. Hunger allows no choice to the citizen or the police. We must love one another or die. So Auden wrote this poem, which is called September 1st, 1939, on the day that Nazi troops first entered Poland, prompting what is considered to be the start of the Second World War. And it's said that Auden, disillusioned by the horrors that would unfold, later changed that last line of the stanza from, we must love one another or die, to, we must love one another and die. A move which was effectively a commentary on the ineffectiveness of poetry to have made any impact whatsoever on the state of the world. But ever the poet, Auden thought that this shift from or to and lacked rhetorical power, and he decided to remove the line altogether. When it was found years later in his drafts, Auden was convinced by editors to include it as he had originally written it. Perhaps because enough time had passed, perhaps because he wanted to preserve the poem's integrity in accordance with his intention, rather than the world's reality, he put the line back in, such as the freedom he enjoyed as a poet, for not all poets enjoy such freedom. And this backstory resonates with me because in April, I was invited to write a short essay for Rhode Island Public Radio, the This I Believe series. And just like today, the task was both an honor and a challenge. Because like a one-woman debate team, I have a tendency to contest my own views as I write them down, which makes pinning them down and expressing my beliefs needlessly problematical. But I thought I'd read that essay today, which I both believe wholeheartedly and which I also dismiss summarily. I believe that poetry saves lives, not the way that paramedics do as they rush to restore a patient's breath or shock a stopped heart back to beating, but slowly, over time, poetry can alter the texture and course of a life, and that change can be something of a salvation, by which I mean an opening, by which I mean the making of essential space for reflection and connection. For I believe that poetry, through its fusion of intellect and emotion, compels us to consider more deeply our experience in the world and to cultivate connection. If, as Socrates said, the unexamined life is not worth living, then poetry can only enrich us, because the effects of an unexamined life exert their own kind of urgency, one that a doctor may not readily recognize and that medicine will not remedy, but which undermines as steadily as any pathogen. I believe that just as everyone should have an annual checkup, we should also check in with ourselves and others through poetry, and more than once a year, for there is a poetry out there for each of us, for every day of our lives. I once heard of a doctor who prescribed poems to his patients, a radical and ingenious practice that for some might conjure a 19th century lady sprawled on a fainting couch, since poets and poetry often mistakenly considered delicate of composition, like snowflakes or butterflies. But I believe, to quote the intrepid explorer Ernest Shackleton, that poetry is vital mental medicine, and that poetry builds grit, for poets are among the most resilient, determined people I know. Because writing poetry is really an attempt to engage intensely with humanity and to embrace what John Keats called negative capability, which is the ability to endure uncertainty and mystery, to accept not having the answers. I believe that presidents like Abraham Lincoln, Vaclav Havel, and Barack Obama, who read and wrote poetry, were better equipped as leaders in an uncertain world for having grappled with meaning and nuance, for having tackled intricacy of thought, and for attempting intimacy through words. I believe that while poems won't block malignant cells or stop a hail of bullets, poetry is an antidote to the alienation of the unexamined existence, that through poems we can save lives, our own and each other's, by which I mean expand both our inner and outer lives, by which I mean entire lives, by which I mean the point. So the day I was supposed to submit this piece, 17 people were murdered at Marjorie Stoneham High School in Parkland, Florida. And like everyone, I was stunned and horrified yet again. And I grappled with the absurdity of claiming that poetry saves lives, when not a single poem has managed to save a single life in any of our schools, on any battlefield, or any of the New York streets where I grew up. Such an assertion seemed vainglorious and frankly kind of infuriating. And so for 30 hours I mulled and grieved and tried to figure out what I really believe. In the end, I added the line, "While a poem won't block malignant cells or stop a hail of bullets, poetry is the antidote to alienation." Now, if you're thinking the phrase "hail of bullets" does no justice to the lives lost, you're right. And really nothing that I write could ever. Such are the frustrating limits of language. I grapple with this essay still. Some days I do believe that poetry saves lives, and some days I don't. Every day, though, I know that poetry saved me by offering itself as a form through which to explore and experience the world around me. A couple of months ago, the wonderful poet Michael Klein put out a call in social media for thoughts on how poets could actively mount a viable resistance movement against the Trump administration. He was offering free tickets to see the poet Sharon Olds and Ocean Vuong read in New York City to the person whose response he liked best. I haven't heard back, so I don't think I won, but I sent Michael the This I Believe essay with the following email. And in this email, I think I get a little bit closer to my real point. Hi, Michael. I was invited to write an essay for the This I Believe series on Rhode Island NPR to air during National Poetry Month. I did, and I think at its heart it has to do with resistance. The illness at the core of the seemingly global tilt towards nativism, fascist tendencies, and general hostility seems to me about alienation, the breakdown of connections between communities and individuals. For all our supposed connectedness through digital media, some of which can be very positive, people on the whole are increasingly lonely and isolated. The boy joining ISIS and the boy shooting up the movie theater are not so different. The man in the White House and any other charismatic leader are not so different. They prey on people's yearning and purport to give them purpose. The only way to collectively resist, the only practical way to resist, other than bloody revolution, is to rebuild and reinforce genuine connection where we can, as individuals, in our families, in our workplace, as poets, as people. When people feel connected to other people, they see more clearly, they stay open, they tend towards reciprocity. This makes it more difficult for them to shun their neighbor, to shoot a child. I do believe that poetry saves lives, but it's people, really, because people make the poems for other people. XO Tina. P.S. I was stuffed up when we recorded, so I'm kind of whispering because I was afraid of snuffling into the super sensitive mic. Smiley face emoji. So there's a line from that Auden poem which keeps coming back to me. All I have is a voice. How true this is for every one of us, and therefore how devastating to be silenced, whatever the circumstances. Just as it said that prejudice is an emotional commitment to ignorance, I think that to accept being silenced is to make an emotional commitment to inequality, and that to silence is to make unequal. Because to use one's voice is to proclaim one's right to exist. It's to make an offering, to seek the possibility of response, and maybe even of conflict. Either way, words make bridges. It's about connection. It's what the Parkland survivors felt compelled to do, to undo the folded lie, to love one another or die, to proclaim that love in the form of protest, so that perhaps fewer people would die down the line.